from Edinburgh, Radio Napier, News.
Good afternoon and welcome to EN4 News. It's 1:30, I'm Robbie Thompson. The headlines this lunchtime. The second phase of Edinburgh's 20-mile-per-hour speed limit has begun. New drivers caught on their phone face losing their licence, and a UK national is deported to Singapore after 27 years in the country. First, though, several driver warnings have been issued by police after the capital's speed restrictions entered their second phase. Motorists were stopped and warned of their speed by officers, with many commuters taking to social media to complain about the added time to their journeys. Georgia Downey tells us more about what the new laws could mean.
The second phase of introducing the 20 miles per hour speed limit in Edinburgh has now come into effect. Phase 1 of the £2.2 million project was introduced last July and covered the city centre. The second stage is covering Granton to Portobello and Duddingston to Morningside. There will be six phases altogether, and the project is aiming to be completed by 2018. It has been designed in order to improve road safety and encourage people to walk or cycle. Drivers caught speeding will face the threat of up to a £100 fine and 3 penalty points. Transport convener Leslie Hines revealed how residents in Edinburgh pushed for this decision.
Well, it's because of safety. It's about encouraging people to walk and cycle and to also take public transport. But also it's because there is a demand from local residents. We have 20 miles an hour in 50% of our streets already, in residential streets in the city, and residents want 20 miles an hour in their own area.
Edinburgh Councillor Gavin Barry spoke of what the benefits are.
Well, I say it allows road users, cyclists, children to judge the speed of traffic. To cross roads easier, as simple as that. Quite clearly, if you've ever tried to cross a road where there's a 40-mile-an-hour limit, perhaps in one of the main roads towards the periphery of the city, it can be really difficult. 40 miles an hour gaps between traffic might be there, but they fill up very quickly with oncoming traffic at 40 miles an hour. At 30, not quite so much. At 20, the gap's slower, but also the gap's bigger and the traffic's moving slower.
We spoke to drivers in Edinburgh who told me their opinions on the speed limit.
Because I'm not from here, from Poland, but it's very good, it's a very good idea. And yes, I'm very happy.
It's slowing down what's already going through busy areas. That's already quite congested. Don't think it helps.
Georgia Downey, EN4 News.
Staying with travel now, and motorists caught using their phone while driving within 2 years of passing their test will lose their licence under a new law introduced in Scotland, England and Wales, while the penalty for using a mobile while driving will double to 6 points and a £200 fine from the 1st of March. Adam Sturrock had a word of warning for those behind the wheel.
Thinking of changing your Spotify playlist in the car? Or texting your friends? According to a new rule change for new drivers, that might mean you'll lose your license or be more likely to be involved in a crash. As of today, any driver that has recently passed their test can be docked 6 points to their license and given a £200 fine if they're caught with a phone in their hand. 6 points on your license forces you to retake your practical test. The Transport Department is doing this to try and stamp out texting and driving. And according to a study by RAC started last September, which is a car insurance company, people are still checking their phones. They say 26% of drivers admit to checking their phones while driving, and it doubled to 50% when they were idling at a traffic light. The spokesman for RAC, Simon Williams, says the risks of using your phone while driving isn't something to take lightly.
The risks are clear. People do lose their lives as a result of people using handheld mobile phones. We've had a constant flow of terrible accidents that are coming to light. So we really do need things to change, and we need a change in behaviour. We need to make this as socially unacceptable as drink driving.
Local residents of Brunsfield General agreed with this big change.
If people are stupid enough to do it, they're going to do it regardless.
Don't text and drive, simple as.
I think it's a great idea, actually. I think it's incredibly dangerous if you're distracted while you're driving.
There should be more people to catch them. That's what you need. There was a guy behind me yesterday and he was using his mobile phone and I nearly got out and told him to stop it, but I didn't.
I think it's not enough. I think they should increase the... it's £200 now. They should increase it more than that, and it should... I increase penalty points as well, possibly up to 9, if not 12, and ban them straight away as soon as they're using a phone.
Simon Williams says that this campaign might finally help bring to an end people using their phones while driving.
Today is the start of something much bolder in terms of trying to get this message across. It's been against the law to use a handheld mobile phone at the wheel since 2003, yet the message hasn't really got through. And as our research found, it's in fact an epidemic proportion.
Whether this will take years to fix or decades, please stay safe by keeping your phone in your pocket while driving. Adam Stark at EN4 News.
And now we go over to Dan Smith, who brings us today's local news.
Thanks, Robbie. Staff and spokesmen of City and Little Nurseries have expressed dismay and anger at the vastly increased business rates affecting Scotland and Edinburgh in particular. Despite measures from the City of Edinburgh Council to freeze or reduce rates, businesses such as the Little City Nursery in Morningside are expected to see a huge increase in the rateable value that they pay, as Director Ian Finney explained to EN4 News earlier.
The rateable values were issued the week before Christmas, so I reckon that was a way of trying to sneak it in under the door somehow without anybody noticing. In the City Nursery, which is a single nursery, it has two buildings, but the combined rateable value was in the region of 80,000, and it's now 140,000.
The demolition of the old St James's shopping centre on Leith Street is expected to close the already congested road to vehicles for up to 44 weeks. The closure is expected to affect both this year's and next year's Edinburgh festivals. Councillor Gavin Barry is a member of the Transport and Environment Committee and stated that talks are ongoing in regard to the disruptions on Leith Street.
I'm familiar with the fact that there's major roadworks have to be carried out in the Leith Street area. Discussions are undergoing with the contractors. It involves replacing a sewer and a gas main at the same time. It's major excavation work and talks are ongoing as the best way to carry that out, and one of the options is a major road closure.
And finally, at the Edinburgh Chamber of Commerce Gala Dinner, Edinburgh Tram's focus on health and safety was met with great appreciation. They were awarded top honours in the high growth and excellence in health and safety categories. The welfare of the tram commuters and employees were deemed to be at the forefront of the company's priority. Experience manager Dean Anderson shed more light on Edinburgh Tram's success.
The team are really excited. I mean, it's obviously a great honour to be shortlisted, let alone walk away with two of the awards, and such big awards as well, the excellence in health and safety and high growth. So the team are very excited and very much looking forward to the year ahead now.
And that's all the local news for now. Back to you, Robbie.
Thanks, Dan. A British woman who has lived in the country for almost 3 decades has been deported to Singapore. The mother of two is said to have spent too long outside of the UK, and her only hope of returning rests on an out-of-country appeal, which she has 28 days to lodge, but no means to fund. EN4 sent Jennifer Frame to find out more.
Irene Clennell, who has been married to her British husband for 27 years, arrived back in Singapore on Monday after being deported. She claimed she had been removed from the UK with no warning after spending time caring for her parents abroad. It is thought that this is the reason why the 53-year-old's residential status had been invalidated after she exceeded the restrictions of her leave to remain visa. Mrs. Clennell was taken from Dungavel Detention Centre in South Lanarkshire earlier this week, where she had been held for almost a month. Speaking to Beverly Harper, lawyer and owner of IQA Immigration, EN4 News were keen to investigate the likelihood of similar situations happening across Scotland.
Immigration law is becoming increasingly harsh. This particular case, although it's very shocking and it's very sad that she's now split up from her family, it's unsurprising in the fact that this is the law.
Beverly Harper also cautioned how harsh immigration laws are costing Scottish businesses.
There's a shortage of skills in the UK. What's happening now is the rules that are being implemented are making it a very arduous process and a very expensive process for a company to now sponsor someone.
University of Edinburgh lecturer James Drummond Furness spoke to us about his experience with a sponsored work visa in Scotland.
If you say you're a family of four, the cost could be £6,000 to £8,000 four times over the course of application for visa renewal, indefinite leave, and then citizenship, which is a really major cost. And many employers, including my own, for a long time didn't reimburse those costs as part of a cynical calculation that most people won't really quit their job over that cost. And so it's basically kind of a tax on being foreign. Like
Jennifer Frame, EN4 News.
The time is just approaching 1:40 this Wednesday lunchtime. You're listening to EN4 News, a reminder of today's headlines. The second phase of Edinburgh's 20-mile-per-hour speed limits has begun. New drivers caught on their phone face losing their licence, and a UK national is deported to Singapore after 27 years in the country. Coming up, Clara Ribera takes in an iconic feminist play at the City Cafe. Meanwhile, we'll have sport from Andrew Fleming, and Rachel Henderson digs deep into dub music in the Old Town. First up, though, here's Matt Lawless with today's international news.
Donald Trump promised a new chapter in American greatness as he delivered his first speech to Congress last night. Trump also tackled the issue of recent hate crimes in America, saying, "We are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all its very ugly forms." President Trump then went on to claim that during his presidency there could be a major reform on immigration.
"It is not compassionate, but reckless to allow uncontrolled entry from places where proper vetting cannot occur."
Judges have ruled that far-right Norwegian terrorist Anders Breivik has not had his human rights violated in prison. The mass murderer who killed 77 people in 2011 won a court case last year which has now been overturned. A man who is in jail for the murder of a shopkeeper in Glasgow last August is developing a growing number of supporters in Pakistan. Tanveer Ahmed stabbed Assad Shah to death because he believed that he was committing blasphemy after uploading videos claiming that he was a prophet. And two women have been charged with the murder of North Korea leader's half-brother Kim Jong-nam. They appeared in court this morning near Malaysia's capital, protected by special forces. The defendants, who are both in their 20s, could face the death penalty if found guilty. A lawyer representing one of the women asked the court to issue an order banning the police and potential witnesses from making statements that might endanger his client's right to a fair trial.
The gag order is against the police and against any potential witnesses to refrain from making public statements that have a tendency to incriminate her or have a tendency to compromise on her defence.
Matt Lawless there with today's international news. On to the arts now, and the message of female liberation in theatre is one which is growing in prominence. With major women's cultural celebrations on the horizon, Clara Ribera sat through one particularly iconic play in the capital's City Cafe.
"He wasn't very funny or articulate or mysterious. He wasn't mean or unavailable. He wasn't self-involved or charismatic. He didn't drive fast. I didn't particularly like Bob."
A week away from Women's International Day, the Vagina Monologues in Edinburgh came to an end last night with the venue full and a smiley and empowered audience.
"I got a reputation in my apartment building. People would stare at me with contempt in the elevator. Men said I was intense. Some called me insane. I began to feel bad about moaning. I got a quiet and polite."
Verena Bahel, member of the cast and organiser, spoke to EN4 News about the monologue.
"Just often you forget about how important it is to just simply speak and proclaim and say, like, this is my body. My short skirt is not an invitation. And to be speaking about the various experiences that women have. And I think it's a change one person at a time in some way. And I think it has a profound impact. People that see the show go out and you see vaginas differently afterwards."
The show, written by the American playwright Eve Andler in 1996, is today performed by women all over the world as part of the V-Day Global Activist Movement, which takes place every February and aims to end violence against girls and women.
"This monologue was based on an interview with a woman who'd had a good experience with a man."
The play is divided into short monologues about different aspects of the feminine experience, such as love, sex, rape or birth, among others. The Vagina Monologues in Edinburgh ran through for 2 days and were sold out on both occasions. Brynhild Beihe, director of the performance, comments on the success.
"We were so overwhelmed with the amount of people that have shown interest and the amount of people that showed up, and then the response that we got afterwards has just been absolutely amazing. Everyone seems to really appreciate the message and to appreciate the sense of unity that it creates, and the way it brings people together is just, it's so amazing."
And with the latest sports news, here's Andrew Fleming.
Thanks, Robbie. First up this lunchtime, it's a big night for Ian Cathro and his Hearts side as they prepare to face Ross County at Tynecastle. Cathro and his management skills have come under intense scrutiny in recent days following a run of dismal performances and results, losing to both Hibs and Partick Thistle in the past week. But the 30-year-old head coach told EN4 News that despite the recent lack of fight shown on the pitch, his players know exactly what it means to wear the club shirt.
"Everybody understands the size, the importance, how much love
and passion there is for this football club. This is tens and tens of thousands of people's Real Madrid. That's reality.
Russell to Hogg. It's going to be Tommy Seymour. Russell long to Hogg. Tindisa. Scotland break out and the lead grows.
Spirits are still very high across the country following Scotland's 29-13 win over Wales in the third round of Six Nations fixtures at BT Murrayfield on Saturday. The result had great significance as the national side rose to fifth in the IRB World Rugby Rankings, the highest position in their history. Ian Ford News spoke exclusively to one of Scotland's leading rugby journalists, David Ferguson, and he explained what he feels the reasons are behind the side's upturn in fortunes.
In the past, we've had a competitive team, a good defence, a hard team to beat, but we haven't been able to really to score tries against very good defences. And as a result of that, we've been hanging on with goal kicks. And the key difference for me now is we've got players across the team who can threaten and can score tries, and that's what we're starting to see.
That's you up to date with this afternoon's sport. Back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's hope Scotland can keep that feel-good factor going. And finally, the capital's Rastafarian ragamuffins look set to get their groove on as the UK's only metropolitan festival of dub and reggae music arrives in Edinburgh's Old Town. Sound System Culture comes to the capital this weekend with the Wee Dub Festival, and Rachel Henderson gave us the lowdown on all we need to know about it.
This weekend, Scotland's capital will see the return of the Wee Dub Festival, a three-day celebration of sound system culture. As the UK's largest reggae fiesta, the event attracts music lovers from near and far to enjoy a fantastic lineup. The festival includes everything from a kids' dub station, delicious Jamaican fusion foods, film screenings, and workshops. The highly anticipated club nights showcase the many faces and talents behind the dub music scene. Sinai Sound System travel from Sheffield to make their Scottish debut.
Many, many years ago in the 60s and 70s, it was more of a black thing, like a people who brought the music over from the Caribbean in the 50s, was kind of the main people who were playing and listening to this music. But over the course of many years, more people have started to play this music, which means that it's now accessible to a wider range of people, which I think is people that may not necessarily have heard it before. Now, through the opportunities from, say, WeDub, now have the opportunity to listen to this fantastic music.
From foundation dub and roots, dancehall to digital reggae, jungle and bass, over 2,000 music enthusiasts travel to WeDub each year. Mungo's Hi-Fi, a familiar name amongst the reggae and dancehall lovers, believe in taking music much more seriously than yourself.
It's been made by people who are heavily into music in general. It's a genre that attracts people who know their stuff. So, for connoisseurs in a way. But it's also really accessible and something that a lot of people can connect on in a nice way.
Wee Dub Festival was launched back in 2011 and started off as a single nightly event. Now in its seventh year running, organiser Greg Lipinski tells us more about the lineup selection.
The way we create the lineup, we always have a space for our local people, like Escape Route Sounds, Ring Tougher Sound, Mighty Oak, and from Glasgow, Mungo's High Five, Crucial Sound. And also we have a lineup for the people who we think they are going to be good for the festival, we invite them. And also we have some space in the lineup for the people who message us, you know, and want to be part of the festival, we decide they are good. And mostly we're looking for new faces, new sounds, you know.
Together with Etty, a Wee Dub lover turned team member of this year's festival, they tell us what reggae means to them and what to expect of this weekend's shenanigans.
Reggae means respect for me, to the music, to the people, to each other. Reggae also means don't be worried too much. And reggae means a lot of, I think, positive vibes in general, you know.
Reggae to me means kind of people being together and having a good time, and it's all chilled out and there's no, you know, stress about tomorrow, and things is kind of the live now and enjoy. I think it's more about the gathering of people, but also the music itself brings all of that together.
If you want to be a part of the good vibes, you can get your tickets online or at the door. And as Bob used to say, don't worry, be happy. Rachel Henderson, EN4 News.
Fantastic stuff there. That's all this lunchtime. A reminder that you can keep up to date with all breaking news on our website, en4news.com, and find us on Twitter at en4news2016. Good afternoon.
This is Radio Napier.
This